Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 367, the second stanza. Far away, God's ark was resting. It is with his people now. And we will go into his temple. At his footstool we will bow. And what follows in the second stanza of Psalter 367.
For this afternoon can be found in the book of Psalms and thereof Psalm 84. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 84 to the chief musician upon Gittith. a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Thus far our scripture reading. Let us together read the form for the administration of baptism, which may be found in the back of the Psalter on page 126. Form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son, the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and daily renewing of our lives till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision. Therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed His covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Van Heerden? Father and Mother Van Hagenbos, Father and Mother Verhoef, Father and Mother Niels, Father and Mother Van den Bosch. Dear parents, when Esau came in weary from his hunting and asked for the pottage of Jacob, then Jacob said to him, "Sell me thy birthright." What was the answer of Esau? He said, "I am at the point to die. What good then shall this birthright do to me?" What did Esau understand? He understood that this birthright was not something that advantaged him at the present moment, but that it was for the future. That is, after his father died. Because after his father died, then he would receive that birthright not only by its promise, but actually in possession. That he would become lord over his brethren. He would receive a double portion of the inheritance, and he would receive the right to the family priesthood. But Esau said at that time, "I am at the point to die. And thus, what good shall this birthright do to me? For I shall never receive it in possession." And thus he sold his birthright for a dish of lentils. And so we read in God's word that Esau despised his birthright. On the other hand, we read that Jacob prized that birthright. There is a difference between baptism as an adult and baptism as an infant. That is, baptism, when we receive it as an adult, then we receive a present seal. That is, a seal which is advantaging us to our advantage at that present moment that it is received, but also in the future, because the benefit of that seal that is received by faith. But as an infant, that faith cannot be exercised. Thus, it is not a present, but it is a prospective seal. It is a seal which will be of great benefit to that child at that time, if and when the Lord gives to him faith, that he may receive the benefit of this seal. Thus, the seed of God's church, they receive the right by promise to the covenant of grace. That is to be received in the time that is appointed by the Lord. Let our children be well instructed that they do not despise this blessing, because it is future, as Esau, but that they may prize it as Jacob did. They do not need to rob it as Jacob robbed it, because in this day they receive it. They receive it in a lawful way from the Lord, and it will be to their advantage as long as they do not sell it for a dish of lentils. We hope to hear, if all is well, a little more of this, the Lord willing, in this hour. So we will leave it here for the moment. May the Lord remember you with your children and grant you together his blessing. Congregation, while the children are brought in, we wish to sing from Psalter 281, stanzas 3 and 4. And after baptism, we'll ask you to stand and sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. So 281, stanzas 3 and 4. Changeless is Jehovah's mercy unto those who fear his name, from eternity abiding to eternity the same. 3 and 4 of Psalter 281. Leslie Johanna, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Emily Grace, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Kayla Rihanna, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thomas Garrett, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Carson Grant, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and hath received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents to whom thou hast entrusted these souls, that they daily may need thee in all things that are for this life and for another, that they may be given wisdom and thy Spirit, thy grace within their own hearts, that they may set an example before their children in this life, to be followed by them, and that they with their children together may receive that profit out of thy holy word. In thy house wilt thou look upon all of us together who are baptized, with this sign and seal traveling to meet thee, O Lord, that we may be given to realize the great significance of this blessing, that thou may give us a little freedom in this afternoon, that we may be enabled to speak a little of it, and that thou may give us all together to prize it as Jacob did, that thou may look upon all those that are needy. Wilt thou supply in all the cares and in all the needs of this life, that they may all tend as callings to drive to that throne of grace. Be with us then in this hour, that thy word may receive free course, and that we may receive also a little strength, that we may do the labors that thou dost entrust unto us, and that we may experience the truth of thy holy word, that thou art true to thy promise, and that thou wouldst so bless it to the instruction of many and to the salvation of our souls. Wilt thou keep us from sinning against thee, and from and in this hour grant that thy Spirit may be, as we have heard it in this morning, going from pew to pew and from heart to heart. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 320, all the stanzas. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, and that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. The last collection today is for the Calvary loan repayment, Psalter 320, all the stanzas. words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you. Psalm 84 and thereof the last part of the 10th verse. Psalm 84, verse 10, these words, "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." So far, the words of our text. The privilege of doorkeeping in the house of God. First, in the door of His natural house, and second, in the door of His spiritual house. The privilege of doorkeeping in the house of God, first, in the door of His natural house, and second, in the door of His spiritual house. Congregation, David in this text makes a contrast. He speaks about two things. One, we read about the house of God. And on the other side, we read about the tents of wickedness. Is there not a great difference between the house of God and the tents of wickedness? What are the tents of wickedness? Well, then we would say where that wickedness that is carried out, that is practiced in the midst of this world. The Apostle John, he says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that it is a kingdom that belongs to Satan. Therefore, he was able in the temptation of Christ to offer it to him. But it is not only that it refers to that open outward wickedness, but also to those places wherein there is something missing. That is the places of vanity in this world, and the places where God does not dwell. Because David in this psalm, he speaks from those places where that he was forced by times to dwell often in this world. And they were in places outside of the house of God, sometimes even down in the enemy's land by the Philistines, by the heathen, and this was to him a great grief. Thus is it also a grief to us when we are and have to be maybe in the places of our labor, in the midst of all the emptiness, the vanity, and even of the wickedness that is in this world. Reverend Hogerland, he says, the places where the crowds are, they are the places that we ought not to be, especially when we have a baptized forehead. Thus, the tents of wickedness. David adds to this contrast a second contrast. What is this? Well, he speaks about dwelling in or and over against to be a doorkeeper. Thus, to dwell in. Children, you understand what that means. You have a house, you dwell in that house. That is a house that you go to for comfort, for eating, for drinking, for refreshment, for enjoyment. You live, you dwell in that house. That means that you belong, you are one that is in that house. But here David speaks, on the other hand, over against this dwelling in. He speaks also about being a doorkeeper. What is that? Well, that is to be one who is standing on the threshold of that house. That is either to keep the door or to keep to the door. That is to remain at that door that is actually in opposition over against those that may dwell within that house, that may be considered one of those people that belong. And what does David say? He says in this double contrast, he says, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell, to be a dweller in the tents of wickedness. I would rather stand, if it had to be, only upon the threshold. I would rather stand only at the door of the house of the Lord than to actually dwell in and to rest and to receive all the luxuries and the comforts within the tents of wickedness. Thus, the house of God. What is the house of God? You say that is the place where God's people dwell. That is the place also that the Lord promises to dwell with His people, that He will have that blessed communion with His own church. Thus, that house of God, in a natural way in this world, that is a representation of the kingdom of God that is here in this world, as opposed to the tents of wickedness being a representation of the kingdom of Satan that is in this world. Thus, to stand on the threshold of the house of God, that is to stand on the threshold of the kingdom of God. That is to stand at the very entrance to God's kingdom. And David desired this place above all the places that he could receive here in this world. Only if he could even just stand at the very entrance to that kingdom of God. That brings us immediately to our second thought. The privilege of doorkeeping at that spiritual house of God. The scriptures, they speak about an entrance to the kingdom of God. If there is an entrance, what does that mean, children? Well, that means that we are standing where? Say, well, then we are standing on the outside of that kingdom. That is right. Thus, what is our state by nature? What is our state at this moment? We are either within or we are without. We are on the one side or we are on the other side of the entrance to the kingdom of God. It is true that there are some few that are born into this world in a regenerated state. However, we must say for the common generality of God's elect that they are born into this world in that state of wrath, still standing on the outside of this kingdom of God, with the rest of entire mankind. Thus, where are we standing? Because if nothing has taken place then in our life between the cradle and the grave, then we are standing on the outside of that kingdom. And when we die, then the minister can pretend that he can place us into heaven, but he cannot get us there. Those remarks, they are fruitless. When Adam sinned, we read he was sent out. He had to go out of that garden. And with him going out of that garden was his entire posterity that was in that day within his loins. Born dead in trespasses and in sins. There is an entrance. Christ, he says, I am the door. If by me any man shall enter in, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. A door. Therefore, John Bunyan also in his commentary, as it were, of the scriptures, and laying out what they are saying concerning that journey of a man from this life to that which is to come, he speaks also of that entrance. He speaks about a wicked gate. Why? Because that is the proclamation of the Holy Word of God. From the beginning to the end, then it is speaking about this entering in. Not only the height of man's creation, not only the depth of his fall, but also the wonder of his redemption and of that door, that entrance, whereby a man may re-enter into that kingdom of God. What do you think about the difficulty of entering into the kingdom of God? What do you think, young people? Do you think that is something that is easy? Or do you think that that is something that is very difficult? Well, in the Bible, we read that this is an entrance which is very, very difficult. That is the testimony of the scriptures. Thus, you ought not to think that you can enter into that kingdom, as it were, by sitting in your easy chair. That you can enter into that kingdom by procrastinating until the time that you are standing before your deathbed. There is a promise of entering into that kingdom that is given to those who are seeking, who are asking, and who are knocking, and unto none others. And that often for a long period of time, because we read also of that parable of the Lord when he speaks of the widow and the unjust judge. And he says, shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Thus, a crying often day and night, month after month, sometimes year after year, before that people are finding an entrance into that kingdom of God. How long, children? How long, young people, fathers and mothers, how long shall we put off this seeking? When it can take many years before that we are finding this entrance? A wicked gate, Bunyan says it is. A wicked gate. What is a wicked gate? A wicked gate is a little gate that is usually within a larger door. Sometimes you see them, boys and girls, just a little door for a cat or a little door for a dog that is within the big door. Then there is a little door. It is called a wicket. And Bunyan uses this. Why? Because it came out of his own mind? No. But what does the scripture say? We say his book that is a commentary on the scriptures. But the scriptures, they say, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And he says, few there be that find it. the Lord Jesus, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." A new birth necessary. "Verily I say unto you, except your righteousnesses exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God." No, that shall not be easy. It is a difficult thing. Is it just words? The Lord, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into that kingdom of God." No, but I say unto you, except that ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And for a rich man, he says, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot serve God and mammon in order to enter into the kingdom of God. What does Christ say? You must be ready to do what? You must be ready to pluck out everything that offends. That is your own members that offend. And that give resistance to entering into the kingdom of God. So if your right eye does offend you, you must pluck it out. Are you ready to pluck it out, children? Your right eye? If you say, "My right eye that keeps me from the kingdom of God." He says, if your right hand offends you, you must be ready to cut off that right hand in order that you may enter into that kingdom of God. You must be ready to forsake father and mother and lands and people if you will enter into that kingdom of God. It is through much tribulation, no, that is not easy to enter into that kingdom of God. What do we, as parents, do when we baptize our children? Can we bring them, parents, into the kingdom of God? Say, that is impossible. We just heard that. That is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Our children, we asked for that. It is in the prayer that the Lord, he will look upon these children. But what does the Lord command his people to do with their children? Well, he commands them to bring them to the threshold. He commands them to bring them to the door and to bid those children to knock at the door. "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." How is it that our children in baptism are brought to the threshold of the kingdom of God? You say, well, then the parents, they will bring them to God's house. That is right. Do you hear that, parents? They will bring them to God's house. They will set them under the means. That is true. But there is so much more than this. And that is all lying in this baptism. Because baptism, that is an ordinance of the Lord himself, not created, it is not an institution that has been given unto us by men. Thus the Lord Jesus, when he said to those disciples, "Suffer those children to come to me," and he invited those mothers to bring those children to him, then we also read that he does something. Thus, it is not only a command from his side, but it is also that he is honoring what he has commanded those mothers to do, and he is laying his hands on those children. Can you imagine that? That Christ would lay his hands on your child. Laying his hands on those children and blessing them. This is the blessing, we understand that. This is the blessing that we need with our children. But it is also the promised blessing that the Lord is giving unto his church. When the Lord is honoring his own institution in baptism, that the blessing that is being realized, it is being fulfilled through, and that is why that command is so urgent upon parents, that it is being realized through the faithfulness and the diligence of father and mother in the instructing and in the example that they are leading their children in. We cannot come into the kingdom unless we first come to the door. We cannot come inside unless we first come to the threshold. Thus we have the great privilege of infant baptism that is withheld from so many people in this world, and righteously by the Lord himself. Is baptism then a guarantee of the entrance of our children into the kingdom of God? Congregation, what does the Lord say? The Lord, he says, parents, bring those children to that door. Bid those children to knock upon that door. And when I hear them knocking, I promise you that I will open that door. Those that seek me early, I promise you that they shall find me. You say, why is it that so many baptized children yet go lost? Is there not so much fault in us as fathers and mothers? Because indeed we may lead them to the house of God, but what is our life? Is it not often a dwelling in the tents of wickedness, in the tents of vanity? But there is also a fault which is lying in our children. And what is that fault? That fault is deadness. That fault is corruption. Where does that all come from? That comes from us, parents. For who is able to bring a clean thing out of an unclean? But now baptism, that is far from insignificant. Why? Because in baptism, the children of God's church, they are receiving, we may call it, a right of property in that covenant of grace. They are too young themselves to receive that right of property in possession this day. But it is, as it were, reserved for them in that time that they shall be sufficiently able to exercise that true faith that is granted unto them from the Lord. Boys and girls, you say, that is difficult. It is not so difficult. Listen for a moment. Your father, maybe, he owns a piece of land. Your father has that piece of land in his own name. He owns it. It is his. But you are his child. And your father also has a will. What is a will? Your father knows that soon he is going to die. And what shall now become of that property, that piece of land? Well, then your father, he has put in that will, this piece of land, when I pass away, that belongs unto my son. Say, whose is that land? Is that yours? You say, not yet. Not yet. And yet, you have a certain right to it, do you not? It is yours by promise. It is going to be given to you at the appointed time when you are a minor and your father would pass away. It will be held still for you in trust until that time that you are able to receive this property in actual possession. Then you will take that property, and it will be now put in not your father's name, but that property that shall be put in your name. So you understand that there is a difference between having something by the right of promise or to have it in actual possession. Those are not exactly the same. Let us say, young people, when your father would pass away, that or maybe even before, and you would see this property, that you would say, like Hiram said to Solomon, he said, "What are these cities thou hast given unto me?" That you would say, "My father, that is now a piece of property. I have no desire for it. It has no appeal to me. I do not want to farm it. It is not farmable," or for whatever reason. You say, "I reject it. I have no desire for it." Well, then you have now a property that was yours by promise, but it has never become yours in its possession. Why not? Because you despised the gift that your father had promised you. You are so close to having received a property, but because of your own fault, you have rejected it all. And you now live as a pauper in this world, having thrown away the most precious gifts that your father could have given unto you. that indeed He intended for you. How close, are we through baptism to the kingdom of God? Standing, as it were, at the very door. Standing, as it were, on the threshold. Standing at the very entrance. Or if we only realized the importance of our baptism and how close that we have been brought unto the kingdom of God. David coveted, prized that place at the threshold. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Why? Because it is the place of entrance. Do you prize it too? What will that be? What will that be? When we have stood at the door, when we have stood at the very entrance all our life with a baptized forehead, having that covenant of God in promise from the Lord, and in the end, still to go lost. There are those that covet the privileges that we may have with our children. They have them not. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, He says that the publicans and the harlots, they go in before you do. Naomi said to Ruth, she said, "Return, my daughter. Return unto thy country and to thy kindred." And what did Ruth say? She said, "Oh, my mother," because Ruth had said, because Naomi said to her, "You have no place there, for I should have an husband also tonight. Wilt thou tarry till him, for him till he is grown? You have no place. You have no rights, as it were." And what did she say? She said, "Entreat me not to leave thee. Mother, if I could stand just at the door, if I could stand only at the threshold of that people of the Lord, then I leave all my family for this. Even though I could never be one of the people. Even though I could never be a dweller there. But if I could only stand at the door." And so she did. And she labored there in the fields of Boaz every day. And there she received, we read, handfuls of purpose from Boaz. "Though," she says in herself, "I be not as one of thine handmaidens." And now there came a day that Naomi, she instructed Ruth about a right that she had. She stood at the door, but Naomi one day says to her, "Ruth, you must now begin to knock at the door. And you have, Ruth, something to plead on. Why? Because there is a law in Israel, and that is about such as you are, a law. Thus, you may plead on that law. It is the law of the kinsman. Thus, you may go, must go in now, and you must uncover his feet, and you must knock at that door, that you also may be given a place within that kingdom. And so we read that Ruth, she knocked at that door. And so we read that Ruth, she also receives a place among that people. That is a people who do not remain at the threshold. That is now a people who are brought in by the Lord himself through that door. Congregation, take nothing for granted. To be at the threshold, that is not the same as to be a dweller in that kingdom. But to be at the threshold, that is an inestimable privilege. There are those that want a guarantee. Maybe you say that to young people. Do I have to leave everything in this world? Do I have to suffer all kinds of tribulation? And then in the end, you say God is sovereign. Thus, I will lose heaven, and at the same time, I lose all the earth. You say, I want first the guarantee that I will gain heaven, and then I will serve the Lord. That is our wicked heart. A heart that chooses rather not to suffer affliction with the people of God, but rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But do you know what David said? He said, though only at thy door I wait, no tents of sin give joy so great. And do you know what those people have? Actually, they have a guarantee. You say a guarantee? Yes. But is that guarantee? That is lying actually in their baptism. It is lying actually in that right of property that they have from the Lord. And that shall be given unto them in the Lord's time. How do we know that? Because the Lord, he says, he that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, he says, it shall be opened. Reverently speaking, the Lord is not able to refuse those who have that right of property and who are seeking that in its possession. The Lord, he cannot say no. And when that people will seek that which has been promised unto them. O congregation, do you sit at the entrance to the kingdom of God? Do you look with longing at those who are within, fearing that you shall never be received? How many of you have grown old with a baptized forehead? You say, I have seen all my life. I have seen this one go in, and I have seen that one go in, and that one go in. And and I am left behind. Is that what lives in your heart? Bunyan's Christiana and Mercy. Bunyan speaks of you. That mercy. We read she watched Christiana go in through that door. And then she swooned. And she fainted. And why? What did she say? Because she says, I was afraid that no gate would be opened unto me. Is that now what lives in your heart? He goes. She goes. And I am afraid that I shall never enter in. And what do we read? Bunyan writes that there was suddenly a loud knock on that door that was heard within. And so that entrance that was also given unto her. Congregation, the Lord Jesus, he said to the scribe, thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand it? That is with us. We are not far from the kingdom of God. That has everything to do with our baptism. A coveted place. David says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Is it enough? No. We also need to come inside. Oh, will you then not knock? Will you then not knock? As you are standing, congregation, young and old, when we are standing at this entrance, soon it will be too late. We read the Lord Jesus says, when the master of the house is risen up, and he shall shut to the door, and ye shall begin to stand without, and to knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And then I will say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. But yet in this day the Lord says, I have set before thee an open door. Oh, do not despise that birthright. Do not despise that privilege for a dish of lentils which you are able to receive from this world. But improve it. Labor. Labor to enter in. Why? Because he that cannot lie, he has promised. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And so he says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give us to realize a little of this great privilege and that thou hast given unto us and unto our children. Oh, when we will miss it in possession, it will be because we have despised it. It will be because that we have thrown it away. It will be because we have desired to seek this world, the dish of lentils above the prize of our birthright. How many shall our stripes be? O Lord, wilt thou forgive our many sins? Give us understanding hearts, and give us to plead with thee while it is still called today, for thou wilt not say us nay. Bring us safely to our places, each one aware that we must labor in the world also in the week to come. Wilt thou watch over and protect us also when we are away from this, our flock, in the next weeks? Wilt thou bring us safely together again? Remember all those that travel, going to and fro in this world. Remember all those that are afflicted, sick, that receive treatments. Wilt thou bless the means? Be with him that will receive surgery. Bless also this for him. And wilt thou cause our hearts in this week to seek thee with all our might and all our strength? Keep us from desiring the tents of wickedness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 421, stanzas 5 and 6, and we ask the congregation to please remain seated after this psalter. 421, stanzas 5 and 6. O God, our shield, with face benign, look on thy servant, wholly thine, and keep him, Lord, thou great defender. 5 and 6 of Psalter of 421. congregation, on behalf of the consistory, we wish to say this afternoon a few words to Mrs. Glenda Brunn, as you will soon be leaving us and going to give instruction on the mission field to the children of our workers there. We realize that that is a temporary thing at this time, perhaps a year or two or whatever that may be, but we do not know what the way of the Lord is in the future. And we wish as a consistory to publicly acknowledge and to thank you for your place among us. That has been a very large place, and that has been in the first place here on our organ to lead the worship services in the singing, and also in a time where your circumstances that led you more to the congregation of Lethbridge, and that you were willing at our request to remain with us and to lead us, and we wish to thank you very much for this, for your many years of service here. And in the second place, of course, you have had a very large place instructing our children in our school. And in these capacities, then you are going to be sorely missed. But we understand that your desire, that is to take up this volunteer position, and that is also a very worthy work. And we certainly hope that the Lord may go with you in this. All of the labors that you have been performing and that you will be performing, they are very closely connected to the kingdom of God. They cannot bring you into that kingdom to do all those labors. But we have a hope that you may also do those labors with that same desire that David had in his heart. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And we hope that through your labors, both here and in the future, that many others may be brought into that kingdom, but also that your knock upon that entrance may also be heard, and that the time may come that you may speak of that entrance and of your soul's entrance into that kingdom of God. May the Lord go with you, protect and watch over you, and grant you his blessing. We wish, congregation, instead of the doxology, to ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 249, stanzas 1 and 5. Because thy trust is God alone, thy refuge is the highest one. No evil shall upon thee come, no plague approach thy guarded home. 1 and 5 of Psalter 249, standing. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.